Hello, good evening and good morning to the second day of the weekend retreat. I hope everyone can hear. Is the connection okay? Volume is okay?
Om Shanti, sister.
Om Shanti. And Geeta Ben, is the volume and the connection network, everything is okay? Geeta Ben can speak. Okay. And any thoughts and reflections from yesterday or previous sessions? Any questions? No questions? Is it clear? Prashanti Ben, it's clear for you?
Yes, sister, but one doubt.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Everything is fixed in drama.
Yeah.
So we cannot change.
Yes.
So then what is the point to know the knowledge? And just for our satisfaction or to say to our mind, our life is same like this only. And again, it will repeat. So we cannot say, you know, this answer to our mind, right?
You know, as I said yesterday, I will say one more time. This script is fixed, as in what comes in the drama, the scenes of the drama. But our reaction is not fixed. How the soul has to behave, that is not fixed. You know, Let us say there is one situation, someone is getting angry on me. Now, till now, whenever he used to get angry, I used to yell back at him or maybe reply back to him and get into arguments. After I get this knowledge, I change my attitude. Now I change my attitude and his anger, getting angry, is not affecting me anymore. So now I behave in a different manner. His getting angry on me was fixed. Okay, Prashanti Ben? His getting angry on me was fixed. But earlier, I was getting irritated. But now, with knowledge, I am not getting irritated. I have changed. So now I deal it in a more knowledgeable manner. And that becomes the script. I cannot say that, okay, drama is fixed. I will just sit and do as the drama says. Because we are also creating the karma. We cannot sit idle. We are creating the karma. Right? I have to act in a manner. But if I act with knowledge, it creates a good karma.
But sister, we know, only we know this knowledge in the Iron Age.
Yeah.
So till Copper Age, we cannot change everything.
Yeah. So, yeah. See, till the Silver Age, we were enjoying. Only the Copper Age and the Iron Age were like that when we were in Ravan's kingdom. But now this new knowledge comes in. And with the new knowledge, we are told that the soul is absolutely free from the drama. So no matter a lion comes, no matter a tiger comes, no matter if someone insults you, insults the role, the soul is free from the drama. You need not take it in a bad manner.
But this knowledge can reflect in other cycle, or it only, again, we know the knowledge.
It will come at the confluence age only. Because only at the end, that is how the drama is. Only at the end we come to know the secrets of the drama. But then it is a play. It is a play of the souls. You know, this drama, don't take this drama as your real life. This drama is not your reality. It is the drama reality. In the drama, we have father. In the drama, we have mother. In the drama, uncles, aunties, and neighbors, they are the people who are acting with us in the drama. The real relationships are there. The real relationship is the relationship of the soul with the soul. So is it okay, or like, would you like to add something?
If something we are trying hard, but still we are not getting, means that's
then you
not
can
in
say,
drama.
Then you can say it is scripted. If so, you have tried hard, okay, you know, you are driving a car. So you are driving a car carefully, right? Now, that is your karma, to drive carefully. But if something happens, let's say an accident happens, even after you driving carefully, then we say it is scripted, right? But we can't say, okay, if it is scripted, accident will happen, let me drive anyway. No. Right? Only if something happens, then we call it script. But then we are making the best attempt to drive carefully. That is how this role has to be played. Something of the past that has happened. But then, you know, if I have to get good marks, if it is in the drama, I will get. So not to make an effort. This is not the correct way of looking at the knowledge. I have to make the effort. Even after making the effort, if I fail, that is scripted. But that does not mean I don't make the effort and sit. Because if I make the effort, then that becomes part of the drama. You know, then you are an effort maker. You are clear, clean and clear in your heart.
Sister and whoever we are meeting in our life, like neighbors or friends or family yes. members, again same. And again, they behave like same.
So yeah, but did you know that these people are going to come? It was new for you, right? The drama is you don't remember. And that is the reason, that is the beauty of the drama, that we don't remember the past births.
And this knowledge also we cannot remember, sister. In this birth, we know this knowledge.
Yeah.
So after that, we may forget. So that time we, now we are feeling like we are acting in the drama. But by that time, we cannot feel like that.
Because in the golden age and silver age, we are enjoying. No need to know the knowledge. We are enjoying. Why the need? We don't want the knowledge because we all are godly and we all are sensible. We all are wise. We all are playing our part truly in line with the law and order of the state. There's no need for the knowledge. Right now, because the situation is not good, and that is why this new knowledge to put us in the right direction. Once we are in the right direction, then there is no need for the knowledge, no?
Yeah.
Someone who is a very good student, he doesn't need to be told, no, don't sit here, don't do this. He doesn't need to be told. He is automatically disciplined. So there is no need for him to be told. If the student is not behaving properly, he's indisciplined, he needs the knowledge to be disciplined, isn't it?
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, right, sister.
Still confused? No?
No, sister. Clear.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, anyone else? And we have Purnima Ben. Hello, Purnima Ben. And you can just wave. Maybe not be all the time unmute. So, yeah. Unless you have any question. Anyone else would like to ask anything? Everyone is clear? Okay, great. So we will start today another interesting chapter on science and spirituality. So first, let us come to that one moment of silence, right? Our silence is rich just for a few minutes. We come to that golden red light, our home. World of God, world with God. This is a place which is more sweeter than the sweetest dream you ever had. More beautiful than the most beautiful place in this physical world. Timeless region of light. Timeless, changeless, endless. World of perfection, world of love, a world where no one ever dies, world of immortality and eternity. Thank you. Okay, so we are going to talk about science today. And science also gives us very good insights about spirituality. Although science does not understand spirituality and does not approve soul and things like that, but yes, it has given many examples of this truth. So we will understand these truths. Just before that, has anyone attended this session before of science? Anyone in this group? I know Ajanta Ben has attended. Anyone else? You can just type in the chat. Just wanted to know for my reference.
No, sister, no.
Yeah, you have not attended that I know. All right. Swarnalata Ben, have you attended this science spirituality session? You can type in your answer if you wish. Okay, so let us start this session. And, you know, there is the Harvard University Professor Herbert Benson, and he writes in his book of research on mind and body, he writes that, you know, anyone who practices meditation for 4 minutes, his, you know, chemicals that are there in the brain, those chemical levels come down for 90 minutes, 1.5 hours. So 4 minutes of meditation brings down that level of chemical in the brain, which has very good effect on the BP and ulcer and post-operative, any post-operative disorders are there or any problems are there or sleeplessness. So he says it has a lot of effect on, good effect on that. And if anyone practices meditation for 30 minutes, for let's say 4 years, so it is said that the gray matter of the brain thickens. The gray matter thickens and it has got very good effects on the body. And what the meditation he talks about is some meditation, not this Raj Yoga meditation, but some meditation, any meditation if practiced like that. That's what he has talked about in his research book. Genes, which people say are hard to change, no? People say that, genetically, if someone is like that, it is hard to change. But then this meditation opens the closed genes, and closed genes open, and open genes also get closed. So it has that power. And it also has effects on the health and age parameters. And they say that if someone practices this any meditation for maybe 15 minutes for some years, they say that they look 13 years younger than their age. That's what they say. 13 years younger, 1-3. And, you know, one of our senior was telling that, you know, Dadi Janki, who was the organization head, She has left the body, but when she was there, this brother knew her when she was 70 years old. And in 70 years, she had a lot of health problems in her. A lot of health problems, you know, as it comes with the old age. Many health problems were there. And when he met her when she was 90 years old, she was very healthy with no problems at all. So the only reason he could think was it was because of the meditation. She had such a good, healthy life. Now, in science, they understand that there is something called non-physical and something called as physical. There are two things, physical and non-physical. Now, physical thing is something which you can see, which you can touch with your hands and which you can smell, or these are all physical things, no? Feel and touch. But there are some non-physical things, something like, you know, emotions and feelings, which cannot be seen. They are non-physical. And they say that even science understands this non-physical. And they say that there are cats and dogs who can see many things which are not visible to the human beings. And they also say that, you know, pigeons do not have a sharp vision. They can't see that sharply. They don't have a good sense of smell and hearing also. But if you leave a pigeon, go and leave a pigeon for 20 miles away, he comes and crash lands on the same tree. Same tree, he will crash land. So they have some senses which the science is not able to make out. And what the science says is that they put all these things in a mystery box, something which they are researching on, but they haven't got any idea about it. So they put it as in progress, research in progress. So then there is something called as telepathy. Everyone knows this telepathy thing? Yeah, you know, okay. So Purnima Ben is nodding. Prashanti Ben, you know telepathy? Something very interesting about telepathy, I will say. You don't know telepathy? Okay, let me tell you what is this telepathy. Now, you know, there was this lady who had a parrot. Who had this parrot. And this parrot knew about 800 words. 800 words he knew, and he was familiar with most of the household names in that lady's house. And, you know, whenever some phone call will come, even before this lady picks up that call, parrot would know who is calling. And in his own words, in his own vocabulary, he would say, "Hello, Minto," as if Minto is calling. "Hello, Robert," when Robert is calling, even before she picked up the phone. And similarly, when this lady would go and try calling someone, this parrot knew whom she was going to call. And he will say, "Oh, Mary is a nice girl. Robert is a nice fellow," like that he will say. Which, according to his language, like she was going to call that Mary or Robert, like that. So the scientists got very much interested in this parrot and they wanted to study. So they came to his house and then, you know, they kept the lady in some other room and they kept the parrot in some other room. And they showed some pictures to the lady. And when the lady was showed the picture, the parrot would answer from the other room what picture is being showed. You know, let's say she's shown the picture of some building. So the parrot would say, "Who is in the other room that the building?" So these things happen, but generally it is not taken note of it, you know. Dogs, they say that they know when the masters have left their office. They have this sense. They can make out when their masters have left the office. and then when you stare someone while he's sleeping, the person wakes up. Have you done that any time? Has anyone come across something like that? You stare at a person who is sleeping and the person wakes up. Have you done that, Prashanti Ben? Okay, you can experiment. You can experiment. If someone is sleeping, you can stare, that person wakes up. So how do these things happen? The soul is not sleeping, right? The body is sleeping. But the vibrations from soul to soul go. And when you are remembering someone very much, the chances of you getting his SMS or a phone call is more. You know, sometimes when we were all small children, sometimes we will remember someone, maybe some uncle or aunt very much. And then after maybe an hour, there will be a ring at the door. And when we open the door, the aunt or uncle would be there. He might be staying in some other city or town and he would be here. Has something like that happened to anyone? And we call this telepathy. Anyone has come across anything like that? Swarnalata Ben, have you come across anything? Can you hear? Anyone can answer.
Yes, sister.
Okay, right. And Poonam Ben, have you come across telepathy? Something like that?
Yes, sister. Yeah, many times.
You have also come across. Okay, right. Okay, great. Now, you know, there is one more thing, we call it poltergeist. Poltergeist is a phenomena where this mind takes over matter. A person drives a car for miles and goes to the petrol pump and he stares at the car keys. And the car keys bend. They bend. And now he's unable to open the car. So this is like a mind which is working over matter. Certain things can disappear from one place and appear in another place. So this is again the mind over matter. These things happen, but they are rare, but they give these ideas about the soul is the main thing that is operating. And then there is this multiple personality syndrome, where two souls are using one body. So what happens was, this lady, these are all the real life examples. There was this lady who goes to her garage and to take out her car, but she sees that the car is not there. So she has to think where the other soul has parked the car. The other soul has parked the car, she has to think. So, and sometimes, you know, and because these two personalities, these two souls do not know each other, right? So she has to think where the other soul would have parked the car. And sometimes what happens, as the souls change, as they come to the body and go, the health also changes. If one soul has asthma, it shows in the body. And the moment the soul changes, the other one takes over, the asthma is not there. So these things happen, and sometimes, you know, scars appear and disappear on the face. The soul, when one soul might have had some scar in the past in the body, and when this soul takes over, the scars come and the scars disappear. Such things also happen. So these are some examples that science gives about the existence of the soul, but they do not agree, or the science puts them in the mystery box, but they are very much part of everyone's life. So we'll just stop here to hear what you would like to say or add or comment. Anyone has any questions, comments, sharing? And yeah, we have a point of light joining. Welcome. And would you like to share from where are you joining? I hope you can hear. There's someone with this name joining. Okay. And would Om Prakash Bhai like to share?
Yes, sister. I'm hearing very seriously, and I agree with all these incidents.
Yeah.
My own experiences too.
Yeah, thank you, Bhaiji. And Prashanti Ben, is it interesting?
Yes,
interesting to hear science.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but this knowledge is not just to generate interest. There is some more meaning about this knowledge. We will come to it very soon. Anyone else would like to share or add? Any thoughts from Purnima Ben? Is it clear?
Would like to know more on how it works.
Yeah, sure. Great. And Poonam Ben, would you like to share anything from your side? Okay, we don't see the mic. Unmute, not a problem. Okay, so yeah, so we'll move ahead. Now, we'll share one screen with you. One moment, just. I hope you can see this screen now. Is it visible? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Now, this is the drawing of an old man who is 90 years old, okay? And this is his picture when he was 12 years old. Now, this old man says that when I was 12 years old, I used to do this, many times our grandpa and grandma, they tell stories when they were small. So this person who is of 90 years of age, he says that when I was 12 years old, we were doing this and that, and we had gone to the school and done this, that. So many things he's talking about. Now, what science says is, that science says that as we breathe every moment, as we see things, as we touch things, so the entire cells of the body, so many atoms get discarded and new atoms come up, and we take so this process of renewal takes place every moment as we breathe and as we see. So they say that after a few years, around 4 to 5 years, the entire cells of the body are changed. Maybe the heart and brain cells remain the same, but then the entire molecules, they change the body. So much they change that nothing is same as it was 4 or 5 years back. And now this man, he says that when I was 12 years old, I was doing this and that. When he says, who is this I? Because the body, he is 90 years and he's talking when he was 12 years. So from 12 years to 90 years, the body is completely changed. The body is fully changed. There is nothing that matches in the body. fully it is changed. No cells are similar. And sometimes you can't even make out that if he's the one who was this person. The face changes and everything changes. Now, when he says I, then who is this I? Body has changed. This I is this I, the experiencer. So this soul says, the soul is the same, that when my body was 12 years old, I had experienced this and that. And that is why we use this language of invisible experiencer. We sometimes use this word invisible experiencer for soul. So this is that invisible experiencer who says that when I was 12 years old, I had experienced this, that, because body is changed now. Body is no more the same. So that is why, you know, for example, let's say yesterday you were experiencing something, you know, yesterday evening you were experiencing something. Today morning you are experiencing something. And while we are dreaming, we are experiencing something else. So that is why we use this, you know, and then we say wherever there is the experiencer, wherever there is the experiencer is there. While you are dreaming, the body might be on the bed. But wherever the experience is going on, we say the experiencer is there. That is why the language invisible experiencer or the invisible observer. Because it is the invisible soul that can travel anywhere. Now, this is the language that we use. Now, there is this professor, Professor Eccles. He is the brain specialist and Nobel Prize winner. He says, the scientists, they are saying that the soul uses the brain. The soul is using the brain to do the actions. And then in parapsychology, you know, there are six 6% of the people of the world. 6% is a huge number, you know, 800 crore, 8 billion population. 6% of the people experience out-of-body experience. The body stays here and the soul moves out and comes back. And sometimes they feel very happy to go out of the body. Why? Why they feel happy?
Problem-free, pain-free.
Yeah. Prasanthi Ben, answer?
Because they will be in the soul consciousness, not in body.
Yes, absolutely. And when they are in the soul consciousness, their happiness and the original happiness and peace that returns, they feel so happy, wow. Which they were not experiencing in the body because of all those egos and the Vinash forces are there. The ego does not let us stay happy even for a second. It is so bad and unnatural. Being happy and peaceful, that is natural. So when it comes back in the body, sometimes they don't like it. And when this OB, you know, this out-of-body experience is there, some people get this fear if they would return back. Because why? Because too much attachment, bondage is there. So they want to come back to the body. So sometimes some feel happy to have got out of the body and some feel they have this fear whether we will come back to the body or not. They want to get back. There is another thing which is called as near-death experience. You know, there is one case by cardiologist Raymond Moody. It is there in the YouTube also. This is one case which is quite famous in the YouTube. If you put blue shoe, it will come there. Now, what happened in this case was that there was this person who left the body while he was on the operating table or something like that. And then with these doctors tried with resuscitation and all that, you know, he came back to the body. And he says that you, and he's just talking to the doctor. He's saying that, you know what, I know what you were doing to me, and I was watching you from there. And, you know, on the terrace of this building, there is a blue shoe. So the doctor, Mr. Raymond Moody, he first thought that, oh, because he's not well. So sometimes people who are not well, they talk too much. He's simply talking too much. So he didn't, he just ignored and he didn't say anything. But this person, he kept on saying, you know, I was seeing them, you were doing this and that, and how you were doing it, and you can check, there is a blue shoe. So now he says that, okay, I have a chance to, you know, just to let him know that he's wrong. So what he calls is, what he does is he calls the media people to find out what if what he's talking is true or not. So this media people, they come with their cameras and all these things, and then maybe from a helicopter, or maybe if drone was there at that time or not sure. From the top, when they see on the terrace, there is one blue shoe. There is one blue shoe there. And now there is this blue shoe. There is no way to go to the roof of the building. There is no way someone can go reach there. There are no staircase, and the roof is also quite high. There is no terrace as such. It is just one roofing. And now this this whole thing becomes quite famous, known as the Raymond Moody's blue shoe experiment, something like that. So while he had left the body, from the top, he was watching, it seems. From the top or from somewhere, he was watching all those things. So he could just narrate it to the doctor. So again, no, there is this professor of psychiatrist, Ian Stevenson, in the 1960s. And to this professor, this psychiatrist, a lady comes with this four-year-old boy. And this four-year boy remembers his previous birth. And he gives clues, oh, I was like this and that, there stays my family and all this. So he did research on what he was talking, what this four-year boy was talking. So he goes and he finds out a family which he was talking about, which this boy was talking about. And what was found is that 40 facts what this boy was talking about exactly matched to that of the family. So he opened one institution called the Division of Personality Studies, and he started studying cases, 24,000 cases of reincarnation he studied. And you know what is so interesting about these cases? That in none of the cases, the person said that in my previous birth, I was a dog or a horse or an elephant or a camel or a cat or a bird. In none of the cases, he says that in my previous birth, I was like that. So here we know with knowledge that the human souls take the birth of human souls. But here even the science gives the proof that the human beings do not take any other birth other than the humans. So random cases, 24,000, and it cannot go wrong. No? Random cases of 24,000 people. So all these things, they tell us about the proof of the soul. And we'll just stop here. If anyone would like to answer or share something. Anyone has something to add? Okay, everyone is okay with this? Okay. Now, this professor, Ian Stevenson, he has studied 15 cases of birthmarks. You know, children have birthmarks. Sometimes they are really little bit different birthmarks. He studied 15 such cases. And we will just talk about two such cases, very interesting, and how these things happen. We will know this. There was this person, a small boy, whose ears were not formed well. Ears were a little deformed. And he remembered the previous birth. And he says that in his previous birth, he died by a gunshot. He died by a gunshot, and from the place he was probably hit at the temple or near the ears. And the place from where the bullet came out had a big hole, made a big hole in the ears. And now in his next birth, his ears are not well developed. They are little deformed. So how does this happen? Again, there was one case, which was a case in India. There was this farmer's son whose fingers got chopped with the fodder machine. And in the next birth, his fingers are not well developed. And he says that previously he was the son of a farmer, and while they were doing some cutting and chopping of the grasses or something, his fingers got chopped in the fodder chopping machine. And in the next birth, there the fingers are not well developed. How do you think that happens? Any idea? Would anyone like to guess or answer?
That recorded in the soul, so soul scared, and in the next life it appears like that.
Yeah, that's right. So we will see this phenomena, how this happens. Okay, we'll share one other stream. Okay. Now you can see this screen. Okay. Now what happens is, you see that this person, he got the bullet shot in the temple, and his ears in the next birth are not formed well. How does this happen? So when this gun was shot, the body dies. The body dies, and then the soul enters the womb. And while this soul enters the womb, the last impression that, oh, my ears have gone, that last impression gets embedded in the soul, and then it goes and takes the birth in the womb. It goes inside the womb. And when it is in the womb, the body is just like one small lump. And then these impressions, these thoughts, they form the next body. They develop the body. His thoughts and the impressions develop the body. And when the child is born, his ears are not well developed. And that is why in India and in many religions, they say that the last thoughts are very important in the life, because they determine where you will go and take birth and how your physical body would be. And that is why, you know, sometime when someone is about to die, you know that, okay, this person may not live long. The priests come, and they will say some prayers, and they will do some puja, and they will say mantra, and all these things will happen. But these prayers and the priest cannot change the last thoughts of the one who's dying. No matter what you do from outside, if someone, the last thoughts are the sum total of your thoughts, what you have done in life. And let's say, what about the fingers? The fingers were not chopped in the last moment. They were chopped somewhere when he was young. But still in the next birth, he didn't have fingers because in the entire life, he was having this feeling that my fingers are not there. The entire life, he lived a life like that, feeling that his fingers were not there. And then when he dies, maybe he would have had a normal death, but then the last thoughts are actually the examination of life. It is the sum total of what you have done in the whole life. It is not just about last thought. It is about the sum total of what you have done in the whole life, including the last impression. And then with that impression, when you go and take the next birth, it is affected by the impressions and thoughts. So the priests and all those things that happen outside, they will not change the thoughts. They are not going to change your thoughts. The thoughts would be what you have done. If someone has counted money the whole life, in the end you say that, okay, remember God, Ram Bolo, Krishna Bolo, and whatever you call. You cannot remember God. If the whole life you have thought about money, the last thoughts would be of money. And what would be the thoughts? Last thoughts. Let's say if someone who has counted money the whole of life, and if he leaves the body, where do you think he would take birth? Any guesses? Someone who has counted money the whole life. What would be his last thoughts and where he would take birth? Any guess?
As a bank employee, as a cashier. As a bank
cashier, counting money. Okay. Nice guess, nice answer. Anyone else? Om Prakash Bhai, where do you think they will take birth?
Can't say.
Okay. Right. You know, if someone has counted money the entire life, and then when he leaves the body, the last thoughts would be, I have lost all the money. Because he's leaving the money and going. The last thoughts would be, I am a loser of that of a loser. So much of money in the house, full of money, 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 and property. The last thoughts would be that nothing is mine, I am a loser. And then with that thought, if he goes and takes the next birth, it would most probably be in a poor family. Because the last thoughts are that of being poor. He has lost the money. He is poor now. Either a poor family, or even if he takes birth in, let's say, a well-to-do family, the feeling would always be of that poverty. I don't have anything. The feeling would be like that. Even though if he might be well-to-do, but you might have met some people, no, in life. They have everything, but they feel, oh no, I have nothing, less of money, less of, they have everything. But then they will always feel everyone is doing everything for them, and they'll still say, oh, they don't do anything for me, always complaining, always feeling that gap, and always feeling that they don't have enough. So that feeling would be there. Inner life will not be rich. And when the inner life is not rich, what is the life then? If you have money, you still feel I don't have money. The inner life is not rich. So that is the situation. So what you have done the whole life, those are the last thoughts. Now here, what comes as a helping hand is, like, we have got one answer mentally poor. Huh? Yeah, he feels poor. Now, here, what comes to our help is the Paras intellect. And with Paras intellect, we mean that we are just passing from the story. That's what Paras intellect means. Okay, we are, this is our world. This is our world. Okay, and this is the big blue box, the world. And when we use the Paras intellect all the time, we make a practice of using it, we are just passing through the story. We have nothing to lose and nothing to gain. We are already full. That is the feeling. Our happiness is because of the sky and the richness of the soul, not because of the drama. In the drama, you might be having a gold car of gold or diamond and palaces, but the happiness is not because of that car or the property. It is because of the richness of the sky that you belong to. So when we come into this practice, we just come and pass through the story. We have nothing to lose and nothing to gain. So no matter whether we exit from the world now or after 10 years or after 100 years, that feeling will always be there that we have nothing to lose. And someone with that kind of a feeling, who has this feeling of fullness, even while being in the drama and while exiting from the drama, if you have that feeling of fullness, how would the life be? The life would be like this. Own nothing, lose nothing, fullness. With this fullness, the soul goes to the next birth. And with that feeling, when the soul goes to the next birth, that is what we are being taught to practice. Fortune is full. Where will we take birth? Prashanti Ben, where will we take birth?
As a child in Ambani.
We will go to golden age. We'll go to golden age. Golden age is richer than any of the richer people here. Richest people here. No? When we keep this mindset that nothing belongs to us here. Nothing and no one. They are all souls. The people whom you are considering as uncles and aunties, and they are all souls. So nothing belongs to us. We are passing through the story. So anytime you exit, you have this feeling of fullness. Maine kuch khoya nahi, maine kuch paya nahi, mere paas sab kuch hai, like that. And with that feeling, definitely the future births are fortuneful. So that is what is our practice, that we, the starting position is that we are full. We do not see ourselves that we are becoming full, but we are already full. That is how we see ourselves. So is it clear for everyone?
Yes.
It is clear? Anyone has any questions or anyone would like to add or share?
I have a question, sister. So yeah. this will help for next life, right? And also it will bring happiness. But how do we solve the karmas?
It's not just about the future life. Definitely future life is going to be good, but we create a present good life in the present. Okay, no matter if someone has played the role of a bank robber, it is fine. But now you have the knowledge, you do the practice and you correct yourself. And if you have corrected your posture, then no pain, right? If you are sitting in a wrong posture, you will have the pain at the back. So till now we were sitting in a wrong posture, we were getting the pain. Now we correct the posture, no pain. And what we have done in the past with our practice, that will be taken care. So the karmas, whatever we have done till now, okay, we didn't have knowledge and we have done so many things and there have been so many sins created. Okay, fine. Everyone has done it. So, but now once we get this knowledge, we correct ourselves. We correct the karma. We correct our behavior and the karma gets corrected. As simple as that. We do the practice, we take the knowledge, we apply the knowledge. The knowledge that we get here, it is not something theory. It is, you know, just like, you know, in our schools and colleges, there was something called as physics and there was something called as applied physics. The physics which is applied. Mathematics and the applied mathematics. Similarly, here, we don't have that difference because here everything is the applied knowledge. All knowledge that we get here is applicable. And that is what knowledge, that means wisdom, when we apply it in our life, correct our karmas and make our life like a shining like a diamond. That's what is done here. Does anyone want? Yeah, is that okay for Purnima Ben? Would you like to add or share?
Kind of getting the message, kind of, but how is still the question in mind?
How? See, let's say like till now I have been doing wrong karmas because I didn't have knowledge about the karma. I didn't have knowledge about the Vinash forces. I didn't have knowledge because the golden age is about to come. Now I have the knowledge. So what is wisdom? Wisdom says that now I change myself. I play the hero part and not playing the part of the bank robber. I play the hero part. I correct my karmas, right? And that becomes something which I'm going to get in the future as well as my present. And the things that have happened in the past, for that we practice yoga and we burn ourselves. Otherwise, if we don't practice and don't become soul conscious and correct ourselves, then there are the policemen who are going to give us punishments. And you can call the Vinash force as the policeman. Or maybe in India, we call Dharmaraj. So why to get from Dharmaraj? Let us clear the accounts with wisdom and peace and go on an enjoyable journey rather than going through pain and sorrow. Clear, not clear? Still?
Makes sense. Thank you. Yeah.
Anyone else? All right. So we have reached the end of this session. So let us come to that 1 minute of silence. Our silence is rich because we see the self as soul and we see the self as the soul in that golden red sky. The world of divine, royal beings of light. The world where all are egoless, no concept of sorrow, all are desireless. All are riceless. Childlike and godlike beings of light. This world is immortal and everyone is full, everyone is complete, all are virtuous. This is the world where we see the true self, the true family, the true home, and the true father. And all souls are beyond harm. All souls are lovely and lucky. This is the truth of everyone. All souls exist without needing anything from the drama. They are all naturally happy and loving. This is the truth of everyone. So as we come to the end of this practice, we remember this beautiful truth. We conclude this 2-day retreat and maybe we will have some retreat in the future, and we will send you a link and you can attend it. And any final thoughts from anyone? All right. So thank you everyone for joining. We will post the recordings in the group maybe by late evening or maybe by tomorrow. So you can just have a look at it. It is good to have revision. So see you again. Thank you. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti, sister.
Thank you, Om Shanti.